Surprise, surprise, today on Jay Sekulow Live, 3 out of 4 elitist law professors agree the president you elected should be impeached. We'll talk about their testimony today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, you got to share this with your friends and family right now. Let them know about this, because what is happening right now in the House Judiciary Committee is worth watching to see how absurd the Democrats' actions are to try and get some justification to impeach the president that many of you voted for and elected. And by the way, we'll have an opportunity in less than a year to decide whether to reelect or not. Slate magazine called today's hearing, this is Slate, this is liberal, the impeachment drive climbs into the clown car. Up next, and it's happening now, a pointless hearing before the House's most incompetent committee. That's you, Chairman Adler, running the most incompetent committee of the House of Representatives. Well, they have 4 law professors testifying. That's pretty normal during impeachment. What's weird is that in Bill Clinton's impeachment, the law professors testified about the articles of impeachment and whether they met the standards set forth by the Constitution and the Federalist Papers and our Founding Fathers and what we mean by high crimes and misdemeanors, not whether or not the president should be impeached, which is what these members of Congress, they're not relying on themselves. They are now relying on law professors, unelected, to tell them if the president of the United States should be impeached, which is their decision to make. They have the power to do it. They don't need the law professors explaining to them whether or not they can impeach the president. Of course they can. And if they had the votes in the Senate, they could remove the president. They don't really have to really even justify it. You could disagree with it. Voters can disagree with their decision, but they don't have to. I mean, it's pretty broad power. It's just a high bar of votes. But these professors have been brought in, Than, to tell Americans and to tell these members of Congress to give them some justification that, yes, the president should be impeached. So 3 out of 4 elitist, liberal, nutcase law professors have said that today based off just the public testimony they've gotten to read.
Well, and one of the witnesses today, Jordan, testified to essentially what you just said, Jonathan Turley. He said, look, my opinion of the president, your opinion of the president, is not particularly relevant here. In fact, it's totally irrelevant. The Constitution, the founders gave the authority to decide on impeachment to elected officials, not law professors. But Jordan, I would make one other point as well. I'm holding in my hands a 300-page report that allegedly is what is being considered today. I would tell you, I'm pretty confident I've read more of this than virtually any member up on that dais. It's 300 pages, about 150 pages of substance. And Jordan, I've been through every page of it. It doesn't make the case for impeachment. It simply lays out the witness testimony that we heard last week, which was, again, hearsay. But you're right. Today, law professors, Jordan, how many of us elected a law professor to decide whether or not a president who was elected by us should be removed?
0 people elected these law professors to tell their members of Congress whether or not a president should be impeached. I think it's because they're afraid. Jerry Nadler doesn't want to say it. Adam Schiff doesn't even want to say it. Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to say it. So they're relying on those who can run back to their ivory towers, these liberal nutcases, and I will keep calling them that because, by the way, these law professors, like Noah Feldman, who likes to act real fancy, Rhodes Scholar, he tweeted 2 months after the president's inauguration that the president should be impeached. Trump's wiretap tweets raise risk of impeachment. President Trump was right. His campaign was being spied on by the U.S. government. But Noah Feldman, who has testified today, this Harvard law professor, that the president should be impeached, and they love going back to him because he went to Harvard and was a Rhodes Scholar. He was calling for the president's impeachment 2 months into the president's term. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. It is a clown car. Here's CNN. Here's why the impeachment polling isn't moving. Because the American people don't care what Democrats or the law professors have to say. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. Share this broadcast with your friends and family on Facebook and Periscope. Thank you.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Let me say this. I get, you know, you get advice from attorneys. We're attorneys. Law professors can play an important role in analyzing the law. They instruct, you know, they shape our nation's attorneys at these top law schools. That's wonderful as well. Some I can strongly disagree with and respect. The ones who were brought forward today, three in particular, I mean, they're just ignoring Jonathan Turley. He, like, got to speak, and that was it. He got to give his opening statement. Now, the Republicans will ultimately let him speak more. And he even said he wasn't, like, a Trump supporter. He just doesn't think that any of this rises to the level of impeachment and that it's going to lower the bar for impeachment. Do we have some of the sound from Jonathan Turley? Because it, like, lowers the bar for impeachment to make it exactly what the founders didn't want impeachment to be, was about political differences. Or, you know, things like the ABCs of impeachment, one of them being betrayal of national interest. That is a policy dispute. Define that, Professor Kaplan or Carlin. I don't think she's defining it as, well, you know how she defined it? She's so offended by Trump, she had to cross the street rather than walk next to the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. I'm not kidding you about these professors. That's how nutty they are. Feldman was tweeting that the president, because he said he believed he was wiretapped by the past administration, should be impeached. That was 2 months into the president's term. You've got Gerhardt saying in his prepared statement that what the president did was worse than any misconduct of any prior president. And then you have Jonathan Turley saying, guys, this is all about politics to you. All about politics to you. So we have that. We'll play it for you. Again, 1-800-684-3110. I do believe it's the clown car of impeachment. I want to remind you as well, my dad today, it's already done at the ICC. The video isn't posted from the ICC, but he's going to be joining us live from the Netherlands. He was at The Hague at the International Criminal Court the first day of at least two. Well, it's a three-day argument. Day two of his presentation will be tomorrow. But so he made the first round of oral argument. That was about 10 minutes. And we'll make another 15-minute round of argument tomorrow. I talked to him this morning before radio. He said things went well. Today was on more technical ground, so we'll talk to him with a live report on our case at the ICC. Remember, December is a matching challenge month. Whatever you donate to the ACLJ is doubled, so it's a great time to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Let's go to the phones. Then I'm going to get updates from Than Bennett on how this is all playing in Washington, D.C. Jerry calling in from Rhode Island on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hello, team. A couple of weeks ago, Fan said in one of his commentaries that he believes that the whole impeachment press was done tactically, timing-wise, to be in front of the release of these IG reports. And you, Jordan, had said a couple of weeks ago later on about your new book, they were fighting for the 20 percenters. And some of those 20 percenters were like, oh, that guy is a law professor. He must know better than me. I think Fan was right. And I think you're right in regards to we're fighting for literally a few people here for sound bites.
Most of these, you know, Jerry, most of these members stand, not all of them, but on the House Judiciary Committee, but almost all of them, for the most part, it's not a requirement, but a lot of them are lawyers. They are attorneys or at least trained. They went to law school. They may no longer practice law. But so they're hearing from, yes, highly trained experts in a field that you don't really need to be. I mean, you could obviously constitutional law is very complex, but impeachment's really not. The Constitution tells you how many votes you need, what you can do it for. It's extremely broad. And if you got the votes, go ahead. But what the founders did then was made it very difficult to get the votes, especially in the Senate, to actually remove a president, so that even if the House decided they would like to impeach presidents just based off politics like this one is doing right now, and policy differences because they don't like the president or don't like his tone, that their Senate would usually be a kind of there to prevent those kind of impeachments. And so far in our history, that's been exactly the case.
Well, and what you just described, Jordan, makes it all the more noteworthy that this process was stripped away from the House Judiciary Committee in the first place. And remember, all of the process here happened at the House Intelligence Committee. That is definitely a break from norm. You would think that this committee, like you said, staffed mostly by members with a law degree, Jordan, would be the place to do it. But this was about politics from the beginning, and I would make two points. You called it a poll-tested impeachment. Jordan, it's polling just fine in Chairman Schiff's district and Speaker Pelosi's district, but it is not polling very well in the districts that will determine the makeup of the House in 2020. So I think that's why there's trepidation. I think that's why they're hedging on whether or not this vote is going to happen before the end of the year, because it is not playing well in those purple districts. The other point I would make, Jordan, is, you know, you've got all these attorneys that make up this House Judiciary Committee. Well, they were just given this 300-page report tonight. So I don't care how brilliant they are. I don't care how educated they are. There's no way they're actually working from the facts that are in this report as they conduct this hearing today. It was just impossible to consume it in that amount of time, Jordan.
You know, Andy McCarthy's on Fox News right now, and I'm just seeing you get the transcribing, the closed captioning in our studio. And, you know, he said how we're seeing Thanis shift in the Democrat strategy. Then, one, first it was bribery in the Intelligence Committee. Now they're going to the law professors not to analyze their drafted articles of impeachment, which is the proper role for law professors and these constitutional experts that they have played in previous impeachments, including Jonathan Turley, who's done it before, is that you go to them and say, you know, okay, we've drafted these articles. Does that square with your understanding of what high crimes and misdemeanors are? And you go through, I think they went through 12 different law professors when it came to Bill Clinton. And there was actually a crime you could point to there. Not saying you have to have one, but there was. He lied to a grand jury, lied under oath. So pretty basic. But then what Andy McCarthy is saying is that they're now shifting to having the law professors try to draft the articles for them. And in fact, the law professors aren't focusing that much on bribery. They're going back to that idea of, so you can kind of impeach the president for what you want. So whatever abuses you don't, if you want to call it abuse of power, if you want to call it a betrayal of the national interest, you can, Congress. So don't make yourself have to feel like you need to be boxed in by things like bribery, but they're having the law professors do it.
Well, and we kind of foretold this, Jordan, when we said that look for when their articles eventually come out, you're going to see them focus a lot on process crimes, obstruction and other things, maybe contempt of Congress. Jordan, that is coming true. I mean, this report, again, it's divided into two sections. The entire second section, which after its footnotes makes up about 100 pages of this report, is about process. It's about the dispute between the executive branch and the legislative branch on providing witnesses, on providing documents. Again, we're talking about a sensitive...
It's in the courts.
Right.
Congress could wait for courts to weigh in, and if the courts weigh in and say that the White House was wrong, then they get the documents and the witnesses. If the courts weigh in and say that the White House is right, then they don't, but obviously that wouldn't be then obstruction of justice anymore.
Well, either and that way, would be a thorough process, Jordan. Right, that would be a thorough process waiting for that to vet out. But again, since this is political, they don't want to wait for that to play out. So it makes up literally half their case right now. I think the other reason, Jordan, that they're going to these law professors before they actually go back to fact witnesses or draft articles of impeachment is because if they were to roll those things out, Jordan, before they called the academic experts in, it would be much more difficult for them to make a case for impeachment. Because we saw what those fact witnesses said last week or last couple of weeks, Jordan. They really did not have very much direct information at all. So it's much better to get the
That was their problem.
Right.
They had no facts.
Got to get the academic case out.
Yeah. So the academic case is we don't like the president. He's betraying the national interest. That one of the ABCs of impeachment that Professor Carlin had put up on the screen. You know, we aren't law students. The American people, I'm guessing most of you aren't law students. I don't need to be instructed by them on who can impeach and how. It's pretty simple. The Democrats don't have the votes in the Senate. The president will not be removed from office. In some way or shape or form, he will be acquitted. And these law professors are just hurting the Democrats. Why are they hurting the Democrats? Because they're playing into every bad stereotype everyone has of Democrats. Out of touch, elitist liberals from coastal schools that don't understand middle America and normal Americans' concern, which is why CNN has the story. Here's why the impeachment polling isn't moving. And it literally, let me just boil it down for you. People don't care what the Democrats have to say. And they even more so don't have to care what law professors have to say that aren't elected. Here's Slate. These are not places I'm usually quoted in nicely. And they agreed with my quote that the Americans don't want to hear from a bunch of elitist, overeducated law professors. That this was, quote, the impeachment drive climbing into the clown car in a pointless hearing. And Than, this is interesting. The House's most incompetent committee, we've made this point. Jerry Nadler has had these kind of hearings before on Mueller, on Russia, on obstruction, and he has failed. I mean, this whole thing is failing the American people. But he's failed Democrats. And yet again, they played this up as something everybody needed to watch. Instead of playing it down as kind of a process hearing, they played this up as some big deal. And I think, again, it is the clown car of Jerry Nadler.
Well, it's breathtaking that it was it's breathtaking it was taken away from him in the first place, Jordan, but it's very telling, let's put it that way, when it comes back to him for final jurisdiction. And what do? They don't bring witnesses in. They have an academic discussion. Jordan, I don't really think you have to read between the lines there.
No, they don't want us actually there cross-examining any witnesses. So they'll bring people you would actually cross-examine. What are you going to say to the law professor? I don't like you, law professor. I don't agree with your legal analysis. It doesn't matter when it comes down to the votes. They're not even analyzing the articles of impeachment because those haven't been drafted. These are the first people, though, I will say, that have publicly gone on the record and said they support impeachment. You haven't heard that from any of these members of Congress or the fact witnesses last week. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
So the law professors needed a break. You know, it was 45 minutes. They got to get some coffee. Jerry Nadler needed a break. Too many parliamentary inquiries, I guess, for him to be handling. And as Slate magazine said, it is the impeachment driving, climbing into the clown car, a clown car being driven by Jerry Nadler, a pointless hearing before the House's most incompetent committee. And Slate, of all places, actually quotes me nicely. They agree with me, which again, I think just underscores how upset liberals are getting at this process even and how that's unfolding. They talked about how in July there was a similar panel called the Mueller Report Part 3, Constitutional Process for Addressing Presidential Misconduct. And there you had Congressman Collins, a Republican, ranking member of the committee, note that the hearing was not going to accomplish anything. Quote, "We don't need to discuss, is this a constitutional right of Congress to do impeachment? That's exactly what Congress's right to do is." And then Slate goes on to say, Wednesday, today's hearing is set up to offer more of the same. As Trump attorney Jordan Sekulow said on Monday, quote, "There's nothing the American people want to hear less than a bunch of overly educated law professors give their advice." And what they're doing is giving their advice to Congress on how to impeach the president. I mean, that's absurd. Even when 12 law professors were brought in for Clinton's impeachment, they were brought in to analyze the articles of impeachment that Congress drafted. So we'll get back to it. We'll get back to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I don't always agree with Jonathan Turley. I will say it's absurd, too, the way they treated him. He's the one dissenter on this panel. He said he didn't even support the president, doesn't even necessarily agree with a lot of these policies, but that you don't lower the bar of impeachment to this level. And that's about all he's gotten to say. The Democrats were afraid to ask him any questions. They went to their friends, like Noah Feldman, who called for the president to be impeached 2 months into his term. I know, Dad, you're on the line. Dad, this was interesting. Before we get to the ICC, Noah Feldman, the Harvard Law professor, a Rhodes Scholar, but he's a tweeter also, so that can get you into trouble, as some of us know who tweet. And he tweeted 2 months into the president's term when the president said that his campaign was illegally wiretapped. Noah Feldman tweeted that tweet by the president alleging criminal misconduct by the previous administration. Which, by the way, why was it automatically criminal, Noah Feldman? Could it be based off legitimate grounds? I guess we'll find that out soon. But that could be an impeachable offense, Dad. We later found out, of course, the president's campaign was being under surveillance by the U.S. government. So he was absolutely right to make that claim that the Obama administration had him under surveillance, because they did. So that's the kind of people the Democrats have got testifying today. I just want your kind of comments and thoughts on that before we head to the ICC.
Well, look, I haven't had a chance, obviously, in the last couple of days to really look at this. I turned it on when I got back to the hotel after the hearing today. And I just asked our producer what the sense was, and Will said it's kind of dull and boring, and then just turning it on. It reminds me of law school lectures. Yeah. But it is interesting they're not letting Jonathan Turley speak. I mean, I picked that up. I have not seen all of it, so maybe they did earlier, but they're
just
not.
Just an opening remark. That's all he got. He got one time he got to say yes or no to something. That was it.
Yeah, so not a fair process, but does this move the needle any?
Nope,
it doesn't. That's what I think. I haven't been watching it the last 2 days. I've been busy, as you know.
Yes, I think that many Americans would have wished that they were in your position instead without being bombarded with this. I would say this, though. You're in Europe, and with NATO there and all that, are Europeans focused so much on the president's impeachment? Because there is that issue that this hurts.
And I've been with, dozens of lawyers and dozens of people, and people know that I represent the president, and no one has asked me about the impeachment.
So they know it's not going anywhere, the Europeans.
I think that's right.
Yeah, which is interesting, because a lot of them have disdain for the president. If they thought that this was going somewhere, you'd think that their media would be all over it.
Sure.
Okay, let's go to the ICC.
But I'm not getting that at all, Jordan. I'm not had a question on that.
Yeah, I mean, especially with NATO there, having their and you've also got the Assembly of States meeting for the Rome Statute, right, at The Hague right now?
So
all of the state parties.
We had a big crowd in the courtroom today.
Tell people about this. You've participated in the International Criminal Court before, but this is the highest chamber. We haven't had an opportunity to do that before, and so you did that today for the first time. made, I guess, would you call it an oral argument? A presentation?
It's different than the U.S. Supreme Court in the sense that it's in the Supreme Court of the United States, each side gets either 20 or 30 minutes one time, that's it. Here, this is over a number of days. So today's argument was short. It was 10 minutes. Tomorrow's is 15. But then they have these question blocks, which can go for 30 minutes to an hour. So it could be, in a sense, longer than a Supreme Court argument. But today, I think it went really well. I think our position was well received. Obviously, there's a lot of opposition. The idea that the United States, a non-party state, it's a state that's not a party to the treaty, could be reached, and the prosecutor trying to do that. I mean, the one thing that came up in some of the conversations afterwards or even before the proceedings today is this idea that the speculation about them trying to go after the United States is not speculation. We've shown this on our radio broadcast, on television, that they list the Taliban, the Afghan National Security Forces, and the United States as the principal parties that they are looking at for war crimes and crimes against humanity. So this is targeted directly at the United States and our military and intelligence officials. Today was more of a procedural day. I went very, very well. Tomorrow is what we call the merits day.
Yeah.
And I expect that's going to be quite a moment. But it's an incredible experience, I have to say that.
Unlike the Supreme Court here, they do broadcast it. It was broadcast kind of low-quality video, but they do a high-quality video. You were towards the end, so we don't know if that will post today. Since it's the evening, it may be posting tomorrow. We have a short portion, though, we can play. No.
It was just posted.
Okay, so they did post, Dad, the high-quality version, so people will get to view that of your presentation, which would be good. Set the stage
you'll
for them and
for
what
the
they're going to see.
In a robe.
What they'll see and what they're hearing.
Yeah,
you're going to be wearing a robe, so not a suit, not just a suit and tie. Five judges. It's a big room. You kind of stand up from where you are in the room and make your argument. And again, you said this time there were anyone interrupted?
About 20 lawyers.
Was anyone interrupted today?
No, they did not. It's not really how they do it.
Yeah.
It's much more of the European style of advocacy, which is you make your submission, your oral advocacy, your oral argument, and then there's questions at the end. And the questions at the end, actually, because we were on a procedural matter, went more to the victims and a lot of questions to the prosecutor about what the prosecutor was up to. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So I'm pleased, actually.
Yeah. All right, that's good. That's good. Well, we're going to have some images of this for people to see on Facebook and Periscope. Video will be posting. I'm sure we'll post some of that later today on Facebook and Periscope. And then tomorrow, Dad, it gets into a little bit, it goes from more procedural question
tomorrow.
to more of the merits of the case, right?
Yeah, tomorrow will be more of a merits day. But this is an interesting day, too. I hope when we can get some of this out on social media platforms as well. Tomorrow will be more of the merits.
Well,
of the
I think this is only
so
what
appreciate
the ninth.
Everybody's prayers. We could tell. We appreciate
only
it.
The ninth kind of hearing they've had right at this high level by the court.
I was talking to some of the lawyers that do a lot of practice at the ICC, and they're saying this is basically the biggest one they've had.
It involves the U.S. too.
Effectively, their Supreme Court. So that's it. Yep.
Yeah, and I mean
we'll have more tomorrow.
Yep. So tomorrow we'll get more and another update. Continue prayers for our team there as my dad again prepares for day two of that oral argument. To protect our troops from ICC investigations, which could lead to prosecutions, which could lead to warrants being put out, to stop it right from the beginning. We're not a party to the statute. We're not a party to the treaty. The ICC should have no jurisdiction over our troops. And again, I support the work of the ACLJ. We're doing all this work all over the world, our European offices too. Go to ACLJ.org. It's a matching challenge month in December. Whatever you donate is doubled at ACLJ.org. We'll be back second half hour. The impeachment clown circus continues.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
It should get a little bit more interesting now as Republicans will get some chance to now ask questions of these liberal law professors. But I will tell you, for the most part, you can take our analysis. If you trust us, trust us. I don't think you have to waste a lot of your time today with this. Seriously, if something comes up where I think you do, I mean, I would come back and tell you on Facebook, Periscope, we'd write an article about it. But for the most part, I think you're getting as much analysis as you need right now. If you want to watch your news later and see how the whole hearing kind of finished out, sure, do that. Go to your trusted sources. But this is not Than like we've seen before. This is a clown show. I'm going to quote Slate Magazine. Don't get to do that much. Very liberal online source. The impeachment drive climbs into the clown car. Today, a pointless hearing before the House's most incompetent committee. Now, it's a committee made up, Than, right, of 41 members. So when they get past this questioning by, their counsels, and then maybe to the—I mean, this could go on and on, right?
It could be very long, Jordan. I mean, much like the Intel Committee, the chairman and the ranking member have up to 45 minutes in this round. There might be a subsequent round. I'm guessing no, but you're right, Jordan. After that, it goes to five-minute rounds, and there would be an additional 39 members that could take a turn if they wanted. So it went a long way. I would just concisely answer your question this way. If people didn't think they got much out of the last 2 weeks of hearings when you actually had people who are at least purporting to be fact witnesses, I think I would question that on some of them. But if they didn't get anything out of those hearings, Jordan, they're not going to get anything out of this, because this is all a theoretical discussion. And if you want just a glimpse of the tone, maybe listen to just any 5 minutes that you choose from Professor Carlin, whose tone was just dripping with agenda, Jordan.
Yes,
I mean, an academic partisan.
Screaming, yeah. Academic partisan. This is a woman who literally cannot walk on the same side of the street as the Trump Hotel. I tell you, they're very smart, but sometimes I can walk by the hotels of whoever, I wouldn't want to walk by some tyrant's hotel, but I don't think a tyrant would have a hotel in the United States of America, would they? But again, she's got to cross the street if she sees Trump's name. These are sick people. I think the president says that sometimes. Sometimes it's true. It's like something is not totally, it's just they're too obsessed, I think, with what they're into, I think is the problem. And they don't get many places to vent it. So they're getting to vent it now on national television. I'd say first, though, to listen to Jonathan Turley. This is opening remarks, because they try to make him out to be like he was going to be the right-wing law professor, the Trump-supporting law professor. He was very clear from the beginning. Take a listen, Byte 81.
I'd like to start, therefore, perhaps incongruously, by stating an irrelevant fact. I'm not a supporter of President Trump. I voted against him. My personal views of President Trump are as irrelevant to my impeachment testimony as they should be to your impeachment vote. President Trump will not be our last president. And what we leave in the wake of this scandal will shape our democracy for generations to come. I'm concerned about lowering impeachment standards to fit a paucity of evidence and an abundance of anger. I believe this impeachment not only fails to satisfy the standard of past impeachments, but would create a dangerous precedent for future impeachments.
Fails to satisfy the standard of past impeachments. And creates a dangerous precedent for future impeachments. Why does he believe that? Byte 83.
This case is not a case of the unknowable. It's a case of the peripheral. We have a record of conflicts, defenses that have not been fully considered, unsubpoenaed witness with material evidence. To impeach a president on this record would expose every future president to the same type of inchoate impeachment. Principle often takes us to a place we would prefer not to be.
Principle often takes us to a place we prefer not to be. And in that case, it's for the Democrats, it's not having any justification to impeach the president of the United States. But they move on. Jonathan Turley is getting more time to talk now because Republicans have their 45 minutes. We'll cover some of that. Again, my dad just joining us with a live report out of The Hague. The Netherlands, first day of trial at the ICC, the International Criminal Court. And we're taking your phone calls when we come back, 1-800-684-3110.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Circus, I would say. You know, we just played for our Facebook and Periscope a round and round discussion on what objections you would allow and how would that rule work. And Jerry Nadler couldn't even answer how the rule would work that was passed by the Democrats and their Democrat-only vote, got no Republican vote, this to open the inquiry and set up these rules. I think that what we all have to sit back and is, I wish we could go to, can we rewind and say go to Jonathan Turley right now? He's actually kind of jumping in. Rewind it back because he is saying, one, very clearly that when we talk about impeachment and you try to do intent of framers, you're on dangerous ground, especially, by the way, Harry, while they're doing that, for liberal law professors. They don't like original intent except for when it fits exactly what Absolutely. They want. They could care less. They believe in a living and breathing constitution, not the constitution that was drafted by the framers.
Absolutely. So they really do not believe in the rule of law. They believe in making up the law as they go. In other words, these liberal law professors are about one thing and one thing only. They are about the pursuit of power virtually by any means necessary. And so they are willing to make up rules, they're willing to rely on precedent, and they are willing to even rely on original intent when it serves their purposes. But they are inconsistent in the application of it.
Now, this is Professor Turley talking about how this whole idea of bribery is wrong. Now, this is long. He's still talking about it as we speak. But I just want you to get a sense that the definition of bribery used by the founders, if they want to go there like they're trying to go there, would not encompass. So the two things they're defined, bribery and treason, bribery would not fit this actions by the president, even if you tried to use how the founders want. You want this president impeached. Take a listen, Turley.
The statement has been made, not just by these witnesses, but Chairman Schiff and others, that this is a clear case of bribery. It's not. And Chairman Schiff said that it might not fit today's definition of bribery, but it would fit the definition back in the 18th century. Now, putting aside Mr. Schiff's turn towards originalism, I think that it might come as a relief to him and his supporters that his career will be a short one, that there is not an originalist future in that argument. The bribery theory being put forward is as flawed in the 18th century as it is in this century. The statement that was made by one of my esteemed colleagues is that bribery really wasn't defined until much later. There was no bribery statute, and that is certainly true. But it obviously had a meaning. That's why they put it in this important standard. Bribery was not this overarching concept that Chairman Schiff indicated. Quite to the contrary, the original standard was treason and bribery. That led Mason to object that it was too narrow. If bribery could include any type of time you did anything for personal interest instead of public interest, if you have this overarching definition, that exchange would have been completely useless. The framers didn't disagree with Mason's view that bribery was too narrow. What they disagreed with was when he suggested maladministration to add to the standard, because he wanted it to be broader. And what James Madison said is that that's too broad, that that would essentially create what you might call a vote of no confidence in England. It would basically allow Congress to toss out a president.
And we don't have that in the United States. We have a vote by the people. We have an impeachment process, which is for conduct, which is again, it's supposed to rise to a level which basically the whole country agrees rises to a level that a president should be removed or other higher officials. Now, other high officials have been removed by impeachment. No president actually has. I think it goes to how as Professor Turley was talking about, how narrow the founders intended, Harry, this process to be. They did not want to give, like parliaments have, these vote of no confidence, let's have another election. Impeachment's more serious than a vote of no confidence because it's a removal of a president and says they can't run for office again. They can't get their office back. They're done. And it also doesn't protect them from being charged with crimes. I mean, so it's not just like a vote of no confidence, let's have another vote.
Absolutely. So I think your analysis is spot on. In other words, impeachment was a reserve net measure for narrow circumstances, extreme circumstances. What Adam Schiff and now Jerry Nadler are trying to do is to broaden the definition of impeachment. But the reality, of course, is that the facts do not support their analysis. Indeed, Jerry Nadler has often impeached himself. He suggested that you should never have an impeachment grounded on narrow partisan grounds, but that is precisely what is at issue here. That is precisely what the Democrats are doing here. Secondly, Adam Schiff is creating fictional facts. The only fact witness that appeared before the House Intelligence Committee was Ambassador Sondland. And he never heard anything in support of the claims that Adam Schiff has made. In other words, Sondland said, I presumed, I thought. So what we have is hearsay heaped upon hearsay, and ultimately the Democrats have impeached themselves.
The thing that stood out to me this morning, too, was that there was no attempt, even though they said this was the purpose of the morning hearings, to obtain some objective legal analysis about impeachment. There was no attempt to do that, which is why during the first 45 minutes, Professor Turley was asked one question. All the other questions were directed towards three very partisan legal law professors because they were not looking for objective legal analysis. One of the things about the framers of the Constitution, they really made it very clear that they wanted to avoid impeachment as a political tool to remove a president. And yet that is exactly what is happening here. With Clinton and with Nixon, you know, there was irrefutable evidence of an established crime that had been committed. The debate in those two impeachment hearings was, what do we do about it? We know a crime has been committed. This particular process, they're still debating whether or not a crime has actually been committed. And in spite of what Nancy Pelosi has said, this has not been reluctant or somber or prayerful. There was obvious glee in the eyes of both the counsel for the Democrats on the committee and the three more left-leaning professors about this, glee and actually enjoying this as opposed to it being somber or prayerful somehow.
All right, folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I think as Professor Turley, he just said, narrow and fast impeachments have failed. There's always something suspicious about it when it's not the like the fact that these witnesses all had to say today, Harry, and they proudly said it. And it, let's say that they're not truthful, but it is suspicious to the American people when asked by the majority's counsel, so the Democrats' lawyer. It doesn't have to be a defined statutory crime to be impeachable. The three of the, of course. Now, that's true. But the fact that they are rushing to that because they can't point to anything, even like bribery, that they would honestly put their professional careers on to say actually occurred. So they have to throw together, it's this rush of, well, it's this, it's that, it's a betrayal of the national interest, whatever that is.
So essentially, these law professors agree on one thing, that the election of President Trump constitutes an impeachable offense in and of itself. So in other words, they basically have demonstrated their disdain for the American people. Professor Gerhardt, for instance, suggested that if the executive branch fails to comply with the subpoena, then the only remedy is impeachment. This is nonsense on stilts. The president has indeed gone to court to protect executive privilege. Congress can go to court to seek to enforce a subpoena. So there is another remedy for Congress. So impeachment is an extreme remedy in this particular case. Congress doesn't like what the president has done. Congress objects to the president's understanding of the national interest and national security. That's a policy debate. That's not an impeachable offense.
Folks, I want to go. I get back to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. When we come back from this break, we're also going to have, during the break, for those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope, and I encourage you, if you're a radio listener, check this out so you can see it later today as it posts on our Facebook pages. Some of my dad's oral argument in front of the International Criminal Court today, defending the interest of our troops and who fought in Afghanistan, and our intelligence agents as well. So you're going to see that during the break. See the breadth of the work of the ACLJ as we do a live analysis of this impeachment hearing, both from the legal standpoint, the political standpoint, that we've got our team at the International Criminal Court defending the interests of our armed forces. Support the work of the ACLJ. It's a matching challenge month of December. Whatever you donate, it's effectively doubled. We have a group of donors say we're going to match every donation that comes through in the month of December. Donate today at ACLJ.org. And if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, check this video out.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
So for those of you who were not don't watch on Facebook and Periscope, and most of you listen on radio and SiriusXM, and that's the majority of our listeners, we'll have more sound for you from the ICC, from the International Criminal Court, my dad's oral argument tomorrow. We just played the video for people. They saw him robed. They saw the seriousness of the discussion. We're talking about the ICC trying to investigate U.S. troops in Afghanistan following the war in Afghanistan, and our intelligence agents, even though we are not a party to the International Criminal Court, we have not given over jurisdiction to the International Criminal Court. They'll see the it's kind of a perfect example of the polar opposite, and I wouldn't say this often about the ICC, even though I'm like a huge fan of the ICC, but and of course the U.S. has decided not to take part in this kind of global, because of our legal process. But at the same time, you see how the seriousness of the institution, of its role at the International Criminal Court versus what we're the kangaroo court we are having in our own country. Now, thankfully, this is not an actual court process that we're seeing in our country. This is Congress, and they're pretty kangaroo-y, to be honest with you. You know, I wouldn't want anything in my life tried by any members of Congress on either side of the aisle, personally. But this is their one role where they can. Jonathan Turley made a very strong point. This is why I think they didn't want him talking during their question time, if you will. Take a listen.
I can't emphasize this enough, and I'll say it just one more time. If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You are doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing. We have a third branch that deals with conflicts of the other two branches. And what comes out of there and what you do with it is the very definition of legitimacy.
What they're saying there is, Harry, you cannot be accusing the president of obstruction right now for going to courts to determine whether or not he has a fair claim of executive privilege over both witnesses and documents. And that if you do that, you are the ones abusing power, not the president of the United States.
Precisely. So Congress has often abused its power. And in this particular instance, their willingness to abuse power is on full display. Let's go back again to Professor Gerhardt. Basically, he says that if the president of the United States goes to court to enforce his executive privilege within the meaning of Article 2 of the Constitution, that constitutes an impeachable abuse of power under the Constitution. That is nonsense. It is fictional analysis. It is basically a betrayal of the national interest and the Constitution itself. And so I think if you go back to earlier statements, for instance, by Jerry Nadler during the Bill Clinton impeachment inquiry, Jerry Nadler said you could not impeach a president on narrow partisan grounds. That is precisely what the Democrats are attempting to do here, and I think the American people are right to reject it.
Folks, I want to go right to your phone calls now. People have been holding on. You're all going to get a signed copy of The Next Red Wave. Gary, North Carolina, online too. You're on first. Hey,
that's
Gary.
Gray, but
Gray.
That's okay.
Oh, so, hey, Gray, you're there.
That's okay. Hey, you know, thank all you guys for what you're doing for us.
Thank you.
I also really appreciate listening to your dad today. I'm a vet.
Thank you for your service.
As far as what's been going on in this whole impeachment thing, I guess I'm bored. I've been able to watch a lot of it. And, you know, like today with the one guy, you know, it's like they asked him one question and they could only let him answer yes or no. Everybody else, they said, can you expand on that? But then, you know, I have no legal background and I could easily argue a lot of what these people are saying. And it's sad that it's turned into that.
Yeah, no, I think it's true. I mean, listen, impeachment is about, I think when it comes down to it, Than, we're going to take the rest of the phone calls quickly, but Than, you got to convince the American people that the president has done something so wrong that even if they voted for that president, he should be removed from office or they should be removed from office. That's what you have to convince the American people, not just one half the country, not just those who didn't support the president to begin with, but basically a majority of the country. And the Democrats have failed to do that already, and they're just continuing to fail today.
Jordan, in the United States, the power belongs to the people. And this has been a process from the beginning to strip them of that just a year out from another election. Jordan, no matter who the president is, no matter if you agree with him, if I agree with him, you know, if Elizabeth Warren is elected president next year, no president, Jordan, should enter the office under perpetual impeachment from day one without cause. But this process, Jordan, I will just tell you plainly, I think that's where we are headed if this process were allowed to play all the way out.
I mean, again, if you impeach a president for going to court to get the court's opinion, as we have these three branches of government, on whether his assertion of executive privilege is correct when it comes to either the witnesses or documents, and that becomes obstruction of justice, even if the president loses the case, so long as they comply with the court order and then turn over the witnesses or documents, that's not obstruction by asking the courts to weigh in. But they're saying it's obstruction by just going to court. And as Jonathan Turley said very eloquently, that it will be Congress and those Democrats who vote to impeach who will be engaged in an abuse of power, not the president. Back to your phone calls. Let's go to Dave in California. Thanks for holding on, Dave. You're on the air.
You folks mentioned constituents. What do the constituents of the House Democrats think? Wouldn't surprise me if the House Democrats are acting in accordance with their wishes.
Well, I think, listen, most of their constituents probably aren't watching this anymore. A lot of their constituents don't like this president. If they could see him removed instead of having to try to beat him, West, they're fine with it.
Oh, sure. What we're witnessing,
people love an impeachment of a president they don't like.
Yeah,
they don't concerned about the long term ramifications, especially as partisan of a country we've gotten.
Yeah, what we're witnessing is not an exercise in the law, but an exercise in political retribution, pure and simple.
Yeah, everybody's, you know, saying it more concise than any member of Congress could ever say it, I guess. Anthony calling in from Texas. Final call of the day, and Anthony, we'll get you the next red wave as well, which, again, I will say, warned about this happening. It said the deep state's going to keep coming and coming for this president because they don't really want to get involved. They didn't want to ever have another election. They thought they got him with Mueller. And then now they faced, oh, my, we're going to have to run against President Trump. Worked well for Kamala Harris. Remember we were talking about her being the front runner? Ran out of money. Literally, the Democrat debate, the next debate, could literally be all white people. Some who are socialists. Very interesting. For another day's discussion. Anthony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for holding on. I will give you the final minute and a half here.
Okay, sure. Thank you for the book, and thank you for listening to me. I'm just fuming with the Republicans, because had they been united when this president was elected, they wouldn't have lost the majority of the seats in the House, and the president that I elected wouldn't have to be going through this impeachment circus. Now, my question is, why are they allowing these professors to come in and express their opinions?
The Democrats get to set the rules, because you said the Republicans lost the House. It's common to have the professors come in, usually in impeachment, after you draft articles of impeachment, to then analyze whether they would meet the constitutional, in their view, constitutional definitions of impeachment, the clauses. Do they meet the clauses? Do they pass muster, if you will? You don't usually call them in to justify impeaching and then write the clauses for you, which is what we're actually, or write the articles of impeachment for you, which is what we're seeing here. But then it is very typical for a president after a big win to lose one of the houses of Congress. I think the president has a real chance of actually taking this one back in 10 seconds or less because of the impeachment.
Because 31 Democrats represent constituents that chose the president, Jordan.
We'll talk to you tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.